Blessing Tuna, a former correspondent of Channels Television in Northeast Nigeria, who now runs the media brand, describes crime reporting as a role that journalists take up when they are reporting criminality. And to some journalists, crime reporting might just be a beat. But for someone like her, especially where she worked, every beat was affected by the law or crime. So there was no choice but to be crime reporter.
Crime reporting is the role that journalists take up when you are reporting criminality. For some, it's a beat, but then for those of us in the Northeast, it's a beat that whatever is your preferred beat, it has a touch of crime in it, because of course you are operating in a place that is at war. So if you are covering health, if you are covering the legislature, there's no aspects that have not been affected by the law. So we automatically became crime reporters, and it means doing your work reporting with the mindset of a crime reporter.
Funmi Lola, a broadcast journalist with Crest FM in Akure, Ondo State, who covers crime beat for our organization, also defines crime reporting as a reporting and investigating of information about criminal activities in the society. It could be about rape, corruption, murder, bank robbery, among others.
Crime reporting basically is the reporting and investigating of information about criminal activities in society. It could be about rape, corruption, murder, bank robbery, among the others. Just in layman terms, let's say the focus on stories related to the commitment of crimes or potential criminal activities.
Flora Iweanya, a crime reporter for Orange 94.1 FM in Ondo State, in tandem with others, sees crime reporting as the focus of stories related to crimes like murder, rape, and criminal activities such as fraud.
Crime reporting in journalism is mainly the focus on the stories related to commitment of crimes, for example, robbery, murder, rape, or the potential criminal activities. It has to be like corporate ethics, fraud, and the rest of it. Now, crime reporting in journalism can be general reporting or investigative reporting, if we have to put it like that.
This reportage of crime or insurgents by female journalists has been said to have an effect on their mental health safety. Mental health, according to World Health Organization report of 2022, is an integral part of our general health and well-being and a basic human right. Having good mental health means we are able to connect, function, cope, and thrive. In all countries, mental health conditions are highly prevalent, as about 1 in 8 people in the world live with a mental health disorder. However, the mental health of journalists is an often overlooked phenomenon, and stress is very much considered part and parcel of the profession, or as a default state of newsroom culture. The night shadows, tight deadlines, and potentially dangerous reporting environments can be typical ingredients of a career in journalism. The normalization of such working conditions can lead to mental health problems for journalists. The mental health of female journalists who cover peace and conflict in the society is at stake, as someone without a sound mind will not be able to pass the right and accurate information that will foster peace and security in the society. This can be said to be the case of female crime reporters in Nigeria, who are at the front line of covering insurgency and crime. Tuna, who has covered insurgency for 7 years in Borno State, said while she was corresponding and reporting from the front line, she was not prepared for crime reporting and has been threatened and harassed, which has led to stress. Also, Funmi Adekoya, the Southwest Zonal Secretary for NAWOJ, said she has covered stories that made her stressed all day. Flora also added that there has been so many times where she woke up and didn't want to go to work because of the volume of threats she has received. And she has asked herself at some point if she was really ready to continue. But for the love of her job, and how much it will help the victims of the story and the peace and security of the society at large, she wouldn't quit. She further said that threatening of life and stress can cause harm to female journalists' mental health, thereby affecting their reportage of peace and security in the society.
To be a crime reporter, and for some of us, we learned on the job. I mean, there was no training for that. We were not prepared for what we saw in the field. And so we made all our mistakes, and then we learned in the course of our duties.
So the truth is, it's really scary. It is, but where's the place for the love of the job if we can't keep doing it, especially when you know that when you do it, you are saving a whole lot of people.
Asking about the hazards of crime reporting and the implication it has on the peace and security of the country, Tuno, Fumi, and Flora had a lot to say. Apart from the psychological effect it has on their mental health, Tuno said most times she finds herself in dicey situations when reporting insurgency because when she wants to get the full side of a story, but this is not possible as she's been seen as having empathy for Boko Haram insurgents and hostility for the people, especially in Northeast where she worked. And this sometimes distorts her reportage of peace and security in this area. Flora said it has affected her social relations with people as she has withdrawn and become a social hermit, which has also made her more protective of her kids, even though she seems to have gotten used to it. She also mentioned that some stories that have gory details and scenes affect her to the extent that she's always conscious of security in her environment, making her move from her former house, but she has learned to control her emotions as it has become part of her job, although it can be difficult.
Okay, now let me start from my social relations with people. Most of the time, people watch the stories, they'll call you, "Hey, Flora, I saw this story and you did it. What exactly happened?" So other people will call you and be like, "Please, I know the person involved in this case. Can you help us? Let's kill this story." Also, it made me a little bit withdrawn. Most of my friends in this Ondo state, some of them see my pictures, but they've never interacted with me. I hardly ever go out. You know what you would have done to bring me out of my house. I don't visit people. People don't visit me.
Fumi, on the other hand, said she found a coping mechanism that helps her when she's covering some stories and has made her keep a very small circle of friends. Tuno also added that the trauma she faced when covering crime manifested in so many ways. For example, she couldn't eat meat for a while and she could be aggressive, numb, or emotionally imbalanced sometimes. This further implies that female crime reporters' mental health are at stake, and if this continues, they won't be in sound mind to give accurate report on peace and security of the nation.
So I found a coping mechanism as fast as possible, and so it's the coping mechanism I use that helps me out. I just try to rid myself of all thoughts. I try to pretend it did not happen. Yes, it might not be good in the long run, but for now, that's what helps me.
I know my first few months in the north, in Maiduguri particularly, I know how traumatized I was the first time I saw an explosion scene, you know, with the blood and everything. And be honest, we do not really have any platform that manages, you know, those kind of emotions that we go through. So for some of us, you can only read about it and you know what are your triggers, and then you just try to manage yourself. But it manifests in different ways, to be honest. Mostly aggressiveness. We've had those conversations among ourselves as colleagues. You know, we just try to compare those. And many of our colleagues have admitted that they also have those flashes of, you know, aggressiveness and some kind of emotional imbalance. And for me, that was important because I understood that, well, I am not alone. Like, I'm not going through this alone. But it is common with all of us that have experienced all of those hostilities and the war and everything firsthand, because for the Japanese, our experiences are quite different from everyone in the city.
Mental health systems all over the world are marked by major gaps and imbalances in information and research, governance, resources and services, as other health conditions are often prioritized over mental health. Supporting World Health Organization report on mental health in 2022, the reporters during an interview said covering crime has affected their mental health and their organizations, associations and government has done little or nothing about it. These, they said, may not be separated from the societal stigma attached to mental health in our society. Tuna said, though she had job security while working in Borno State, there were no platforms or any form of support that manages the trauma they go through, but they read about it to know how the trauma manifests, and she also discusses with her colleagues. She says it doesn't even come up in conversation with their editor or the organization, and they don't even care about their mental health but deadlines. Hence, before they are done with one story, they get sent out for another.
So, as a correspondent, I did not have that luxury. Because, I mean, even when you are on leave, you have to be on top of your beats. You have to ensure that you don't miss anything.
Afolabi added that NAWAJ has not really tried to do anything concerning female crime reporters' mental health, but they have been trying to make female journalists better in their profession. But, she said, her organization are always there for them when they need time off work. Afolabi feels that government is primary and that the media organization is secondary in creating avenues for female crime reporters to vent when they are going through a bad experience. Blessing, citing Afolabi, said, although she has been a member of NAWAJ for long, she doesn't think that female journalist mental health has been a priority to NAWAJ or even NUJ. Tuna too said, ignorance is a huge problem for media organization and even the government, both state and federal. As she said, mental health issues female journalists face never comes up in their discussion. She further said that people do not know about mental health because they are not aware and sensitized about it. And there is also a stigma that comes with mental health or psychiatric health.
For my own area, yeah, they try to train women to be, you know, better journalists, but I don't think I've heard them try to arrange for things about mental health. I might be wrong, but I haven't heard of any.
I don't think people have really been aware of what mental health is and issues like this. We just see people behaving in certain ways and we think, oh, this person is just who he is. But we do not realize that there's a place that some of the behaviors and some of the actions that we see, there's a place it's coming from. We do not realize until in recent times. So I think that explains why at the level of the association and, you know, the NUJ.
Speaking on the implication of mental health of female journalists on the peace and security of the country, she said it will make female journalists who are to correlate the society for enabling peace and security to either become the story or present an incomplete story that can hinder peace and security in the society. In her words, the NAWAJ Southwest Secretary, Comrade Fumi Adekoya, emphasized that crime reporters who witness injustice being meted out on victims end up becoming aggressive to the society and people around them. They tend to also sensationalize their report in subsequent cases because of their previous experiences, thereby inciting the public to misinformation, hence affecting the peace and security of the nation.
It makes the person somehow aggressive. Where you feel somebody is being cheated, the person will rise up and want to fight because you feel you don't want to be cheated. And if anybody tries to do that with you, you will rise up in anger, and that will become, the person will become somehow violent. The person might become frustrated, and even some relapse into depression. Because whenever they remember that there is injustice, they don't want to have anything to do with the people. They always remember that scene where a victim is being dealt with wrongly. So that leads to another depression on the part of the journalist table.
Tuna said because of this, she became intolerant, easily irritated, aggressive and sensitive to sound and crowded places. She further said that the implication of journalist exposure to crime reporting is having an incomplete information that will not be helpful as it will not foster peace in the society. Tuna said when journalists do not have good mental health, the content they will be put out as reportage will not be helpful to peace and security of the society. As journalists, we have to decide on what information will foster peace and security when in good mental health. But when otherwise, the peace and security of the nation may be distorted because of unhelpful information that requires journalists taking sides while reporting instead of adhering to the ethics of the job. Also, Tuna said, it takes away journalists' humanity as seeing dead bodies make no meaning to them. They don't care about who is dead, but all they care about is what story says. According to Tuna, to a traumatized journalist, anything is news, whether good or not. However, this is not helping the security of a nation.
The issue of trauma comes in. A traumatized person can do anything.
Fumi Adekoya, on the other hand, said that some of the few cases of threats that were reported to NAWAJ at the state level have gotten to the attention of the president of the organization, who has assured protection for the journalists. She also said on the area of mental health that they provide psychologists to counsel the reporter to talk about it, to relieve them of tension and stress. She also added that periodic trainings have been organized by the Association on Self-Defense in the field. Dr. Adesoye Ajayi Omoshile, the Assistant Secretary to NAWAJ Ondo State and a reporter with OSRC, Ondo State Radio Vision Corporation, when asked about what NAWAJ has been doing, she said, safety of journalists has been one of the issues which has formed basics of discussion, and they were able to engage stakeholders and create jingles to create awareness and sensitize the public on the issue of safety.
This issue of mental health, when it comes to, safety, I'm talking about safety of journalists, it has been one of major issues that we've been taking up. During the last NEC meeting, which was held in Ilorin, the Kwara State capital, it formed the basis of our discussion, which we thereafter engaged stakeholders to ensure that even government at all levels provide adequate safety for journalists, particularly female journalists, while on the field.
Flora, supporting Omoshile, said, NAWAJ is really trying as they have organized medical outreach in collaboration with NUJ, and female journalists were given the opportunity to sit down and have conversation with doctors. So it was rewarding, and for someone like her, she became light-hearted after the conversation. And there is another outreach at the end of this month, and she expects more from NAWAJ because mental health of journalists is important for adequate reporting of peace and security in the society.
Although NAWAJ has had to organize medical outreach, and that was in collaboration with the NUJ, to have a one-on-one with doctors for both general and mental health, it was really rewarding too, because female journalists had the opportunity to sit down with doctors for re-evaluation.
Furthermore, Afolabi said, going forward, NAWAJ should make female crime reporters' mental and psychological health a priority, and they should try as much as possible to arrange monthly workshops and training, and they should also build an online community for them, especially when they want to vent, and also female journalists should find their trigger.
Sensitizing the public that it's not only the public that suffers, but those even trying to inform the public in the first place too suffer from things like this goes a long way. So once the public is sensitized, then concerned authorities too will be able to take the right decisions in helping the journalists. But concerned authorities cannot do anything unless they know about it.
Tuna said that training and welfare of journalists should be taken up seriously because they were not really taught in school. She added that the mental health issue should be handled with better care, and government should care about journalists as they contribute to peace and security, stability or instability of the society.
First of all, the issue of training for journalists has to be taken really, really serious. We don't give things to chance. We are only given the basics in school. The basics, objectivity, neutrality and all of that. That is just the basics. But then we need to have a lot of trainings.
Omoshile said NAWAJ should be supported by government at all levels, as NAWAJ cannot do it alone.
Let me use this opportunity to also call on government at all levels to support NAWAJ. We can't do it alone. NAWAJ cannot do it alone. We need their support.
Flora, adding to others, said government needs to insure Nigerian reporters, and this is a call to private owners to step up their insurance policy for their female journalists, because the job on its own is risky and most time causes psychological disorder.
Nigerian journalists do not have insurance. The government needs to do more on ensuring the lives of both male and female journalists now, not even just the female journalists.
This story is part of African Women in Media, AWIM, UNESCO Peace and Security Journalism Program. I am Omowumi Olasende, reporting for AWIM.